You're listening to Cheesehead Radio, episode 1.3, Training Camp Countdown. Our special guest blogger this week is Brian Caribou of CheeseheadTV.com.
Reach the eye.
What I get is a seal here.
That's it.
Defense's show.
Reach.
Finley takes it to the end zone and in.
You are listening to Cheesehead Radio.
Hey, who is it?
This is CD.
CD, all right. Hi, you're on Cheesehead Nation.
Hey, Jersey Al here.
Oh, Jersey Al!
I bet that's Holly.
Who is it?
Yes.
Yeah! Hey, you're on Cheesehead Nation. Who is it?
Isn't the Glenn Beck show?
Oh, man.
Glenn?
Hey!
I'm hanging out.
Cheesehead Radio.
What is going on, Green Bay Packer Nation? Welcome to this week's edition of Cheesehead Radio. It's July 22nd, and this is our episode, Training Camp Countdown. Yes, that's right. There's one week until Tampa. We've got a great show tonight. As always, we're here with our host, Packer blogger C.D. Angeli, as well as our co-host, Jersey Al Bracco, the lovely Holly Phelps, and of course myself, Alex Tolich. And our very special guest blogger this week is Cheesehead TV's own Mr. Railbird himself, Brian Caribou. Tune in as we discuss Packers training camp. We're also going to talk about Brandon Jackson, the Madden rankings, and a whole bunch else in our free-for-all. We will let you, the caller, call into the show and talk with our host. We got a lot to talk about, so I'm going to move right on. Without further ado, the legend himself, the host of our show, Mr. Tundervision himself, C.D. Angeli. What's going on, C.D.?
Not much, Alex. How's everyone doing tonight? Holly and Jersey Al, what's new tonight?
Hey, we're ready to roll here.
Not much. Definitely.
Ready to roll. Well, let's get right into our Packer news because we got a lot to do tonight.
Okay, Packer news for the week that was. Well, the big news of this week was, of course, was Johnny Jolly being suspended for at least the 2010 season. Surprising part was that the suspension had nothing to do with his upcoming trial. According to an NFL Network report, Jolly was not suspended for a violation of the personal conduct policy, so the suspension likely is due to failed drug tests. That's just amazing. Failing drug tests while you're facing felony drug charges. That's it. I'm done.
Brilliant.
Time to turn the page on the Jolly Rancher.
Oh. Yeah, well, I got a bit of good news for you. Another Green Bay Packer draft choice is in the fold. The Packers signed third-round pick Morgan Burnett to a four-year contract. And according to a league source, the deal has a base value of $2.665 million and a signing bonus of a cool $875,100. Now, a fourth-year escalator can increase this deal to a total value of $3.398 million, which is a pretty good chunk of change. And when he was asked what he was going to do with the signing bonus, what he was going to buy, Burnett responded, "I really don't know. I'm just going to try my best to save my money." And I got to say, Morgan, that's the smartest thing I've heard all day.
Wow, it's nice to hear someone has old-time values. And speaking of old-time things, the Green Bay Packers announced they'll be wearing their new throwback uniforms on December 5th, a home game against the San Francisco 49ers. The uniforms will be similar to the ones worn by the Packers in 1929. The jersey will be navy blue with a gold circle in the middle that includes the player's number. The pants and helmet will both be khaki colored. Now, sorry, folks, but I think these uniforms look like a bad superhero costume. The only thing missing is a cape.
No capes! Sorry. No capes!
No capes.
No cape for you.
All right, the Packers. Let's move on before I start quoting a little bit more. The Packers have expressed their interest in hosting college football, the NCAA Big Ten football championship game. And Mark Murphy said, "We'd be very interested. The Big Ten has got such history and tradition, and to have a championship in Lambeau Field would be tremendous. It'd be good for our community and good for our college football to have it in such a historic venue." And when asked about the usual preference for enclosed stadiums, Murphy just said, "Early December, that's balmy in Green Bay."
That's T-shirt weather, Holly. In other news, it seems Vikings coach Brad Childress embarked last week on his annual summer pilgrimage to the Holy Land in Mississippi. There, he was granted a private audience with the Pope of Quarterbacks. Childress knelt at his feet, kissed his ring, and asked for a blessing. The Pope made no promises, but said to watch the house's chimney for white smoke. And now some news from the Packers Twitterverse. I noticed a Twitter conversation where some fans were tweeting Vince Lombardi quotes. Of course, the most famous quote got mentioned, "Winning isn't everything, it's the only thing." Well, the problem with that quote is that Vince Lombardi never said that. What he did say was, "Winning isn't everything, but making the effort to win is." This was explained by Lombardi himself in a book that I have called Vince Lombardi on Football. The book was based on a film series Lombardi did for players and coaches called The Science and Art of Football. Whoever first reported that quote decided to change it up a bit to make it sound better. And that's your Vince Lombardi history lesson for today.
I did not know that.
Wow.
Selective memory.
Is that in the Packer Hall of Fame, though? I thought that was up on the wall somewhere. Maybe I'm wrong. Yep.
Don't know.
You're wrong, CD.
Oh.
All right, well, from old to new, we've got a new Madden game coming out, and all of the talk on Twitter is about how Madden 11 has rated the Packers players. Now, players and fans alike have had opinions about how they're scored, and user Tobias80H opened a can of worms when he told Nick Barnett that Madden says that Desmond Bishop is 2 points faster than him. Now, Tobias asked whether the rating was true, and Barnett came right back. "Madden made the biggest mistake about that speed rating. That's incredible. I think we should have a linebacker race in C. Not complaining, but I know I am at least in the top two LB speed on my team." And then, of course, Clay Matthews, fellow linebacker, chimed in. He said, "I'll trade you my speed for your swag."
It has to be so weird watching yourself play in a computer game. I can't picture that. Well, our final note for this week. This week marked the return of the Packers Lounge Dumbass Award. And strangely enough, Johnny Jolly was not the target. No, as was discussed by various bloggers on Twitter this week, it seems the website Bleacher Report has been hijacking bloggers' RSS feeds and republishing articles on their site, and then denying they had anything to do with it. So to comment on this, I'm going to give you one of the bloggers whose content was pilfered, Alex Palish. Alex?
Thanks, Al. I got to admit, and this shows just how prepared I am for the show, that I had no idea that this was coming right here, and this is my rant of the week, I see. And it is, you're right, against the Bleacher Report. For those of you who didn't check it out, I'm sitting around Googling, looking for the latest Packer news to get to my Packer readers, and all of a sudden I see one of my articles published by the Bleacher Report. I'm like, well, what the heck? I don't go to the Bleacher Report anymore. I certainly didn't give them permission to publish my article, but yet here it is, by Alex Talich at the Bleacher Report. So I bitched and moaned, of course, heavily and hard, but these days I'm trying to bitch and moan a little bit less because I don't want to get yelled at by a certain gentleman out east. But anyway, I let it rest until yesterday, when I saw the same thing happening to Brian Caribou Bleacher Report by Brian Caribou. Now the Bleacher Report comes back and says it's all our fault. The day we did this somehow, we signed up at the Bleacher Report and told them they could come to Cheesehead TV and take our content, and I'm here to tell you folks it's just not true. The Bleacher Report, they're crooked, they're lying, and they took our content without our permission, and that's the bottom line, and they can't prove it. And I'll leave it at that. That's my rant of the week, Bleacher Report. You suck.
Thank you, Alex.
Excellent. Someday I'm going to be cool enough to have my content pilfered.
I don't know.
That's
a
sign that
you just don't know.
Then you know you've
that's a sign you guys have arrived. Yeah, yeah. You
made
it when the Bleacher Report wants to take
it. Oh, shoot me now if that's the case.
Oh, boy. I think the Bleacher Report put out a thing last week. They do all those little slideshow things. They actually put one out that I thought was really amusing. It was Ted Thompson's top 10 terrible moves. And I remember going through this, you know, and they start talking about Justin Harrell. And I said, what an article to put out there. I mean, usually I get kind of a finger pointed at me for being the Thompson critic. And I looked at that and I said, holy cow, I was even somewhat, wow, Ted Thompson's terrible moves here. I think he's done okay so far.
It's garbage, I tell you, CD. It's garbage. That's all I'm going to say. I'm already waiting for my email to start blowing up with Nagler email telling me to shut up. Rant of the week. Aaron Nagler is listening, too, he says, by the way, on Twitter. Can you believe that? Can anyone believe that?
I don't know. Hey, by the way,
all right. The chat,
I see that all the folks on the chat are debating or discussing our various accents here. And comparing who has a thicker accent or who doesn't. So that's the topic of conversation right now, in case you were interested.
Well, when Caribou shows up, I'll have a less of a Uber accent, hopefully. I won't be the worst of the five of us. But it is time to move on to one of our favorite sessions. It is time for Extra Points of Contention.
Oh, that's porno.
Okay, the extra points of contention this week, we have three that we're going to be debating. Actually, CD, Alex, and Holly will be debating, and I'll just be sitting out and reading the points this week. So, let's get started with the first one. Extra point number one. Madden 11 player ratings are right on the money for the Green Bay Packers. What are we saying?
Yeah, I'll take that one to start. I was playing Madden back in the day when Joe Idaho was throwing for San Francisco and the Miami quarterback was throwing to the Marx Brothers. So I've kind of grown up with Madden over the years. It used to be that Madden was basically just a reflection of the previous year. Now I think they do put a lot of thought and effort into it. I don't think it's perfect. And obviously, just like anything else, it's like us talking about it on the blogs. It's just a preseason guess of how we think we're going to go. But it's also a very objective look at the team. And it can be exciting and also be very sobering. JerMichael Finley, I think it's awesome. He's an 86 with a big swag rating. And I think they're recognizing that JerMichael Finley might be ready to come into his own. I'm looking at the quarterbacks, and I think that's something we still have to look at as a stark reality. We have Aaron Rodgers, who's a 94 overall. We have Flynn at a 57, and I think that's a little telling if Rodgers gets hurt where our season may be going. The other thing that I think was very sobering was looking at our kickers and punters. Mason Crosby at a 71, and Tim Nass, something, whatever his name is, a punter, at a 49. So I like looking at it because I think it tells us where some of our strengths are, where our weaknesses are, from a very objective non-Packer point of view. And they do pour over stats and research. So I'm going to say touchdown.
Oh, they're wrong. They're always wrong. Every year they're wrong. Two have been playing since the very first edition of Madden came out. and I tell you they're wrong. Overall, they gave the Packers an 87, which I think is pretty close. It's one of the highest-ranked teams in the game, but the individual players was just right off. First of all, what is this swagger thing? Apparently, it's a deal with Old Spice that has no relevance on the game, just how much they celebrate after touchdowns. So, swagger, no swagger, I don't care. It's meaningless. But still, guy Greg Jennings, only a 90, should be a 92. And they shafted Sitton at like a 76. The guy could be a Pro Bowler, and they're giving him a 76, possibly the best guy on the line right now. This is an interception for me all the way. Madden 11, great game, love you, Mr. I'm picking the point czar or whatever your name is. Epic fail. Interception.
Holly, you get to be the deciding vote on this one. What do you say?
All right. Well, see, I don't play Madden. I'm sorry, but here's the way that I think. Here's the way I look at it. Fans of every team are going to feel like the ratings for their players are off because they know their players so much better than the guys making the ratings. You know, your player so much better. You know he's good, and that's the beauty of the week-to-week updates during the season, right? They're corrected as players show themselves to be faster or better ball handlers or more aware, et cetera. So even if you don't think that they're quote-unquote right, even if you don't think that they give your player the respect that he deserves, if they're wrong, prove it. I think that gives players a little bit of motivation if they don't think that they were given the scores that they deserve. I think it's fine. I don't think that we need to write to them and tell them to give one player two additional points for a wide receiver. But then I don't know the difference in game, so, you know, grains of salt all around.
Perhaps.
Also, are you agreeing with me, Holly?
Yes.
I will say that. I'm sorry, Alex.
No problem. In the chat room, John Rahar asks, is there a swagger rating for the bloggers, too? That's fairly interesting.
Maybe
I don't want to even
ask our call-in segment.
Alex has a 95 swag.
You have to have something to celebrate about to have that.
Yeah.
I got taken over by GZ TV. I'm celebrating like a 31 right now. We'll get a value. Go ahead. I'm sorry. I'm all fine.
No problem. Extra point number two. Oh, okay. Jumped the gun. Extra point
there
number two. Brandon Jackson deserves to be the Packers' number two running back again this season.
This is a 4th-and-1 goal line touchdown for me. The points don't necessarily show all the effort that goes into it, but it still counts. And I'll grant you, Jackson will never be able to anchor a stable of running backs. But that's not the role that he plays for the Packers, so he doesn't need to do that. He's gotten better every year, and it's clear as he's entering his fourth year that he excels in blocking and blitz pickup. And, you know, nowhere did we see this better than against the Steelers. He kept that line from getting to Rodgers, and we needed that. If he hadn't been as good as he was, I don't think that we would have been within 14 points. And besides, in an offense where the tight ends could be quasi-receivers instead of quasi-linemen, having a back that can keep the quarterback clean is a definite strength. And I think that he fits our team. I don't see any other person I'd rather have as the number two back there.
Whoa.
All right.
Sorry.
I'm going to say interception. But, you know, kind of like one of those, you know, tipped interception wasn't really my fault kind of things. I love Brandon Jackson. I think he's a very good running back, and I agree with you. I think he's grown, but you know the statement is he deserves to be the Packers' number two running back again this season. He has grown to be a serviceable third down back, and as you said, a decent blocker. But it is time we start looking at what his contributions are, and as Ron Wolf said, you're only here as long as we can find somebody better. I don't want to be in a situation where people are handed positions. Last year we had a running back I really, really liked in Tyrell Sutton. He was let go, even though he was really burning it up. Yes, second halves of preseason games, but he was doing very well and was let go. Now we have James Starks and Quinn Porter, two very promising guys that, quite honestly, should be given a shot. Are they going to beat him out? I don't know. But in terms of him being handed the job, no. I think Ryan Grant has established himself as the starter. We want to go in with a two-headed, three-headed monster back there for him, like in the old days with Tony Fisher, Najee Davenport, Amon Green. You're better off with people who can really come in and contribute. I say throw it up for grabs.
Okay, Alex, you get to be the deciding vote on this one.
I'm going to break the tie here. Well, if you're Mike McCarthy, of course, Brandon Jackson always deserves to be the number two running back. Because, again, and I'll guarantee you for the fourth season, Mike McCarthy's going to come out and say Brandon Jackson is the most improved player on the squad and is going to be an integral part of this offense. Problem is, once the real season starts, you never see the guy. You know, I just can't get over it. Does he deserve to be the number two back? Maybe if you go by practice, but how would I know? Because the guy never gets on the field. He played one good half of one football game. I was here all offseason hollering for Leon Washington, hollering for your pace back, and it just, if it's not going to be Brandon Jackson, it's got to be someone else. Will he be the number two this year? Probably. Will he get on the field? That's as big a guess as anyone else has. So I don't know who I'm agreeing with. I think it's CD, though. So CD, congratulations.
I'm too for
the crowd goes wild.
Yeah, excellent.
Okay, extra point number three. The NFL has future plans to play more games outside of the USA. This could be good for the Packers.
This is a Kareem Abdul-Jabbar fourth quarter over four guys slam dunk TD for me, folks. You had me at play more games. Play more games means I'm watching more football. Means I have no further comment. Touchdown, NFL London, whatever, bring it on.
That's me.
Okay.
Because I've got a Matt
Holly.
I've got a Matt Hasselbeck to AJ Hawk. Who are you throwing to interception here? I mean, one of the biggest reasons to have games outside of the United States in Canada and in London is to provide an audience for teams that don't have a monster fan base. Buffalo is having games in Toronto because they can't get the fans to come to their home stadium. The Packers don't have this problem. They will sell out Lambeau until Kingdom come, and they are one of the best traveling fan bases. I mean, yes, having games outside the states increases the exposure, and there are fans abroad, I recognize that, but there are teams that need, you know, foreign fans who are just, you know, discovering football, and while it's great when the Packers can get them, they don't need them. And to just add a little bit more, when the Packers released their financial statements, the local revenue was down. And having games away from Lambeau that are quote-unquote home games is going to take further revenue away from the area. And I don't think that's a good idea.
Okay, CD.
Well, I'll settle this one. This one's a Derek Frost 20-yard pooch kick out of bounds for me. I just don't see the point of putting this one in. I think they've been talking about putting a team in London or having a lot more games there. What I see it as is probably just kind of a once-a-year thing that gets the people in England very excited. I mean, they get excited to come in and see a game. It's an exhibition. They usually have some fairly recognizable teams there. But in reality, football, our football, is not their football. If they, you know, if we have David Beckham come over here to America for a big exhibition, we'd probably be excited. If they actually put an FA team here in America, we would lose interest because we're just not a soccer country, just like England is not an American football country. We have enough teams that are struggling right now. You look at the Buffaloes, you look at the Kansas Cities, teams that have a decent-sized market but really just aren't pushing it financially, having trouble getting it going. Why add another one to the mix, spread out the wealth even more? I say interception on this one, or Derek Frost push punt.
Okay.
I got crushed.
on the live chat, there a couple of people have been talking about the possibility of a London Super Bowl. What do we think about that?
No.
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 No. All around.
No.
I don't mind the idea so much.
I don't mind it, but in February? No.
Not until Lambeau gets theirs.
I was going to say, there'll be one in Lambeau long before there's one at Wembley Stadium.
See, that's better than just no. Okay, that'll accept.
All right, and that
does it for our extra points of contention for the week. CD?
Very good. Nice job, everybody. We are going to go to a short break, but when we come back, we're going to have our very special guest blogger this week. It is Brian Caribou, the original Railbird himself. Will be very special. He'll be joining us live right after the break, so stay tuned. We'll give him a little interview, and then we'll open up phone lines for you to call in.
Sorry to interrupt. Go ahead.
No, you go right ahead.
Our phone number to call in.
Okay.
Let me finish out. Our phone number to call in is 917-932-8401. After our interview with Brian, feel free to call in with questions for any of us or for Mr. Caribou. Go ahead, Jersey Al.
And are the listeners going to want to listen to this commercial especially for some reason?
I believe so, because as we know, Brian Caribou is the editor of the new Maple Street Press Packers Annual, with some of your favorite Packer bloggers writing some articles in there. We'll be asking him about that when you come back, but on the break, we'll be talking with Brian Caribou.
Oh, heck. Mother of Mary. Fudge. Oh, man, I got my desk stuck again in the bathroom, and I really have to go. What am I going to do? Oh, man. Martha! Help me! Martha! Frank? Oh, Frank, you have to quit taking your computer into the bathroom. Here, honey. Take this Maple Street Press Packers Annual I bought you at MapleStreetPress.com.
Gee, that's swell, Martha. The Maple Street Press Packers Annual has everything. It's got Aaron Rodgers, Drake Jones, and great writers.
Oh, boy!
Look, Aaron Nagler, Ryan Caribou,
oh, Tom Pelissero.
Golly gee, I gotta go. Man, I feel better. Thanks, Maple Street Press. Your Packers Annual was outstanding. It's everywhere I need to go.
Oh, goodness. On that note, we are welcoming with us today Brian Caribou. Are you with us there, my friend?
I'm here, guys. Thanks for having me.
Hello, Brian.
Welcome, excellent. Brian. Let's give him a Cheesehead TV. Woo, Brian!
Woo. So, Brian, I just want you to know that you are authorized if you want. You can actually use that commercial in other venues if you'd like. That is for your taking.
Yeah, we'll see. I'm not sure the Maple Street Press folks will approve that one, but it's good for Cheesehead Radio.
That ain't saying much, Brian. Glad to have you.
So, Brian, tell us, you just recently made the move. You've been working at Railbird Central for all these years, publishing some great stuff. You just made a move over to Cheesehead TV. Why don't you talk to us a little bit about that big move for you?
Yeah, you know, I guess for about the past year plus now, I've been working with Cheesehead TV, Cheesehead Nation, you know, on the Packer transplants and all the live blogs we've been doing and things like that. And, you know, I guess this was just a logical move. Ever since I was at Railbird Central, you know, it's kind of been a one-man show. Tony Wilson, who's great, helped me out a little bit at Railbird Central. But it's tough, as most bloggers know out there. I mean, it's tough being a one-man show. And, I mean, if you want to take the next step, I think you need a group of dedicated people. And I think that's what we have at Cheesehead TV.
So how do you fit in with Aaron and Corey? I mean, what's kind of the Three Stooges thing? Do you kind of fit in some way? What's kind of your role with all this?
Yeah, I might be a stooge, but those guys are great. So, I mean, you know, I guess how it breaks down is, Corey Behnke is kind of the behind-the-scenes technical producer. You don't see his writing a lot on Cheesehead TV, but I mean his influence is everywhere with the video production and things like that. Aaron's kind of the columnist, the opinion guy. Not to say he doesn't do news, and I'm kind of take the role of journalist mostly there. So I think that's how things break down.
Hey, I'm going to jump in then if no one's going to say anything. Brian definitely does a good job of covering. If you guys do not read his daily links everywhere, we were talking the other day, he must have his bookmarks for Packer sites in a panic room or a lockbox somewhere because he just finds stuff that nobody else runs across. Maybe stuff that nobody cares about, but nobody else runs across. So get your daily links. It's your best source of Packer news every morning. And how long does it take you to write those, Brian? I know it's a lot of people asking that question. What's the average daily link time spent?
Wow, I probably spend, I would say, 2 hours on the daily links a day, between the researching and the writing and all that. A lot of that is just spent reading, but, let's say less than 2 hours, but I bet it comes gosh darn near it, so, yeah, too much time.
Dedication.
I love it. Hey, Brian, right in front of me, I'm holding this really shiny new magazine that says Maple Street Press Packers Annual, and I see your name right inside the front cover. You want to talk to us a little bit about this, a little almost career move for you?
Yeah, it's been great. As some people might know, I'm a writer and editor full-time now, and this is one of my gigs here at Maple Street Press Packers Annual, and just coming out, so I've been told if you order it offline on MapleStreetPress.com, some people have already gotten the mail. It's guaranteed to hit shelves August 3rd, but it starts shipping earlier, so it might be on shelves in Wisconsin already. I mean, what it is it's a 128-page, full-color season preview magazine, 100% dedicated to the Green Bay Packers. As I explain in my letter to the editor, most people go to the store and get their NFL season preview magazine, and there's 4 pages on the Green Bay Packers, and you come away disappointed. Well, if you're like me, you want all Packers, and that's what Maple Street Press is. It's 100%. There's not a single advertisement in the entire magazine, so you're really getting your money's worth, and I guarantee you're going to enjoy it. And I just have to take a second here, and, everybody who's on Cheesehead Radio, the host right now, contributed to this magazine in one form or another, and I really want to thank you guys. So, CD, Jersey Al, Holly, Alex, they're all in there, and they do a great job. Thank you, guys.
Oh, my pleasure.
Thanks, Brian.
Oh, it was a great project to work on. Yeah, I ordered.
I didn't know it. Go ahead, Holly.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
I was just going to say I ordered 3 copies, for parents and grandparents and so on. And I talked to my grandpa today, and he said, no, I don't want you to send it to me. I want to go out and buy it. And that sounded familiar. Like I'd heard it somewhere before.
Where have we heard that before?
Where have you heard that?
I'm buying my Maple Street Press at the gas station because it feels right. You know how you go in there and you always see the annual sitting there or some other Packer magazine and you're like, dang, I really should pick that up, but you just never do it? Well, I'm going to go in there and I'm going to buy the Maple Street Press on the dirty shelf at the gas station, probably next to the magazines with the black plastic covers on them, and that's the way I want to do it. Down and dirty with my Maple Street Press.
Excellent. What is the website, Brian, that if people don't have nearby gas stations that they're going to be able to go to get their copy of the Maple Street Press Packer Annual?
Yeah, it's at maplestreetpress.com. If you go there and just follow the links, it's very easy to find. So maplestreetpress.com. If anybody's from Wisconsin, you know, you're going to find it at almost any newsstand by August 3rd. You know, it's got a very good circulation in Wisconsin and maybe some bordering states as well. The way they told it to me is they kind of look at the Packers Radio Network footprint, and wherever the Packers Radio Network is, you know, where they, you know, send out magazines. So, you know, I know the Packers Radio Network has some affiliates in Minnesota, Illinois, Upper Michigan, places like that. So you might find it there as well. But definitely, I mean, if you go to Maple Street Press, it's very quick. They get it out within a day or two, and I know some people already have it in their hands.
Sweet.
Yeah. So, yeah. Mr. Caribou, must ask you, training camp is coming up next week. How often do you plan on being a railbird?
I'm a resident railbird. So, yeah, this year we got big plans at Cheesehead TV. I will be at training camp every single practice. You know, by the end, I might regret that decision. No, not really. I mean, I love being there, but I will be there reporting from every single practice this training camp. So Cheesehead TV is your go-to source. And pardon me, people can follow me on Twitter, and my updates will be on there. So, yep, I guarantee we will have great coverage.
And if you are going to be in the air.
Go ahead, Alex.
If you are going to be in the area also for training camp, remember that there is a Cheesehead TV tweet up that everyone's invited to at the Titletown Brewery from 7 to 9 p.m. on Friday night before training camp opener. So I just wanted to get that in. Stop on down. Nagler and Banky will buy you a beer, and it'll be a great time. Friday, 7 to 9, Titletown Brewery. Go ahead, Al.
Brian, I just wanted to ask you, obviously it was a huge move for you personally, leaving your regular job and going out on your own. How easy or difficult was that for you?
It was a very difficult decision. You know, I left the security of a full-time job with benefits, but I really feel writing and editing is where my future lies, and it's what I want to do with my life, and I enjoy doing it. And thank God I have a loving wife who, she herself has a full-time job with benefits and is very supportive of this decision. But, it was very difficult, but it's what I want to be doing, and I'm enjoying it.
Excellent.
If you do what you love, you'll never work a day in your life.
Exactly.
Father told me.
There's some questions for Brian on the on the chat. Do you want me to read a few of those real quick?
Sure, go ahead.
Of course, to call in.
Sorry? Are we ready for calling yet?
Well, you could be me.
I don't have
any
yet, but why don't you read a couple off there? Before Al reads a couple questions off our chat, I'll just remind you that our phone lines at Cheesehead Radio are now open. Our phone number is 917-932-8401. Remember to press the little 1 button once you get through, otherwise I don't get to see you on the switchboard. Go ahead, Jersey Al.
One question is, they want to know, Brian, who you think is going to be returning kicks for the Packers this year?
That's a very interesting question.
I thought so, too.
I am doubtful. I am doubtful that Will Blackman is going to be the same player coming off that injury, and I don't know if he's going to be able to do it. He's been good in the past, but, you know, I'm willing to think that the Packers may be willing to go with, like, an undrafted rookie like a Sam Shields or a Quinn Porter or something like that if they can show a spark during training camp. You know, I think these young guys are going to get a lot of opportunities during practice, and I think there's a roster spot to be had there, seeing as special teams were so poor last year that, you know, I don't know who it is, but, you know, I really think the Packers will give these young guys a shot.
They'll fix
Great.
That up.
That was actually one of my complaints last camp. There were a couple of undrafted free agents, or whatnot, mostly receivers, that had a lot of return experience, but it seemed like the Packers never even gave them a chance during training camp. So I hope that you're right, and I hope they give the young guys a chance this year, and maybe we catch a little lightning in a bottle here.
I think so.
Definitely. Hey, Brian, quick question for you. We don't have a caller in yet. Still open phone lines. But you are kind of the special teams guru. And last year, the Packers made some interesting moves, cut a couple players that made us kind of raise our eyebrow a little bit. And as it turned out, special teams didn't seem to improve that much over 2008. What are you looking at special teams-wise as McCarthy looked at trimming his roster? Are they going to keep three fullbacks and all those extra players this year for special teams, or are they going to take a different approach?
I definitely don't think they're going to keep three fullbacks this year. They're just, those guys don't see the field enough. If you look at their total number of snaps, whether it's on offense or on special teams, that you just can't justify keeping all three players. So I think they'll keep two. I think, you know, obviously the punting battle is one that is, you know, not decided yet. So, you know, that will be a huge thing to look at as training camp starts here next week. You know, they got the guy from Australia, Chris Bryan. They got the kid from the University of Kentucky, Tim Mastey. And, you know, the coaches seem to think they're neck and neck, and I would tend to agree with that a little bit, but, you know, that the kid from Australia there, I believe I did a video, a vlog once. People are going to be very surprised when they see Chris Bryan punt for the first time. He puts the tip of the ball almost straight down when he punts, and it kind of has this end-under-end spin to it that is, you know, it's unique to Australia. I think they do in Australian rules football over there. But, I mean, it's not something you see in the NFL. So that will be something people will be very surprised to see. If any of you are going to training camp or watching exhibition games on TV or family night or whatever.
Hey, Brian, I have a question about that. Is that just for when he's trying to land the ball, you know, within the 10-yard line, or does he take every punt like that?
Yeah, I think it is just, you know, from a shorter distance. I did see him punt with the more traditional, you know, punt that we normally see, and he can do that as well. So,
okay.
Yeah, it seemed to me like it was more when he was trying to pin the teams inside the 20.
Okay, that would make sense.
Interesting. I got a question for Brian, actually, come to think of it. If that's all right, Brian. I noticed on Twitter this week. I noticed on Twitter this week that there was a young lady that kind of gave you some heck about calling out players and accusing you of, or saying essentially that you shouldn't be able to do so because you've never been in their shoes. And you came back and said, well, you must not know me very well. You want to explain a little bit about your football history and why you think you're qualified to say some of the things that you do?
I don't know how qualified I am. I mean, I did play some football. It pales in comparison to the guys we cover here in the Packers, by all means. But, you know, I played in high school, and then I played, you know, 1 year of a club-level football over in Australia just by circumstance. I studied over there, and I spent 1 year in the New South Wales Gridiron Football League, which is the highest level of football in Australia. I played free safety over there, and I had a real good time. You know, it's different over there. You know, you're playing with adults. You know, not like it wasn't like high school, which was my only other experience to relate it to. You know, you're playing. The people over there weren't quite as knowledgeable about the game. But, I mean, when you're playing against, you know, adults as compared to 17- and 18-year-olds, it's a different game. You got, you know, those guys, they might not know football, American football, the greatest, but they're rugby and Aussie rules players, and they're gonna whack you. So, but that's my experience. It pales in comparison to what we see with the Packers. But no, I did play a little bit.
Did you ever totally jack someone up? Be honest. You're the Atari Bigby out there. Did you ever lay a Bigby on somebody? You must have. Come on.
Yeah, there was a couple times I got some good licks on people where I could time them while they're streaking down the sideline and hitting them just as the ball arrived. So, yeah, I enjoyed that part of the game.
I'm making a Brian Caribou for my Madden franchise this year. That's all I got to say.
What are you going to give him as a – what's his swagger going to be?
Caribou swag – it's hard to say. I mean, it depends on the day, really. I'm going to give you like a 79 swag, but if you perform well for me on the field, I'll try to up that, train you out, and get you up there a little bit more. Fair enough?
Yeah, I got to try to find it somewhere. I have my yearbook from Australia, and there's actually like this little article about comparing me to Bruce Banner where I'm just mild-mannered off the field, and then an animal on it, so I think that's an exaggeration, but
we're gonna have to dig that up somewhere.
Yeah, that's in high demand right now. That's like on my next must read list.
Alex, get on it.
I'm gonna try. If we don't see it in a week, you'll be hearing about it.
Hey, just a reminder, we are still waiting for our first caller for any of us or Brian Caribou. Once again, 917-932-8401. If you call in with a question for us today, we will assess your swag rating for you and let you know what that is. How's that sound?
That is true. If you call, you do get a custom swag rating.
We'll let you know what your swag is when you call in.
When your call's over, though.
A couple of people on the chat are saying that they're trying to call in. I don't know what that means, if they're having problems or not, but you're seeing nothing on your end?
I'm seeing nothing. Definitely keep trying. Don't forget to press 1 after you've connected. The little lady should go and say, "Real Talk Radio," and then you have a chance to press 1, and I should see you.
Okay.
Maybe it's just broken. I was just thinking we were highly unentertaining, but maybe I'm wrong. There could be like 50 people trying to call right now, and we don't know it.
That's probably what is happening.
I think they're all afraid to call because they think that Desmond Bishop is going to call.
That's too bad. I was going to give away like $100 to the fifth caller, but since it's not working, it's off the table.
Oh, there we go.
Only take four.
Hi there, you're on Cheesehead Radio tonight.
Hey, this is Robert Hammond on Twitter.
Robert!
Hammond, how you doing?
How are we doing?
All this talk and no action. God, are you taking IT Geek to call in or what? So
what's going on?
I'm waiting for Noah to show up and rescue me here and suburban Milwaukee area, because we've had like 7.5 inches of rain.
Oh, really?
It's pouring right now. My satellite dish is out, and it's bad out there right now. Let's just say I'm glad I live on a big ass hill. But anyway, Brian, what I wanted to ask you, and I only asked you this on Twitter, is so far I've been sure looking every time I have an opportunity to get near a store, I'll stop in, and maybe they got the Maple Street Press annual. Nope, haven't seen it yet. Any ideas where I should be looking?
Oh, man. I mean, as long as you're not going to a gas station that only has maybe 10 magazines on the rack, you know.
No, I found everything. I found the Pro Football Talk one, but, you know, season
maybe it's not in the stores yet.
All manner of fantasy ones.
Yeah, August 3rd guaranteed, isn't it, Brian?
Yeah, that's guaranteed by August 3rd. So they might not be on stands yet, but they're kind of, you know, they're in the process of being shipped. So guaranteed by August 3rd.
Limbo Land. Yeah, I even checked Fleet Farm. Okay.
That's dedication.
Wow, that's hardcore.
Yep.
Okay,
I love
Fleet Farm. And what is that?
Fleet Farm?
Never.
Yes.
Oh.
You never
know
come
what Fleet
in
Farm
Fleet
is?
Farm. You've never come in the Fleet Farm entrance to Lambeau? That's one of the four.
Fleet Farm? No, I guess not.
That's over.
Oh,
that's over by Kroll's.
It's like
okay,
the Total
okay.
Farmer like utility store. It's awesome, and it has always a Fleet Farm smell to it. I guess I can't explain it. If you've never been to a Fleet Farm, they all smell the same, and they're awesome.
Well, we certainly don't have any in New Jersey, I can tell you that. But
and it's not to be confused with Farm and Fleet either.
No.
True.
They have their own song, don't they? Fleet Farm. I seem to remember that one a couple years ago.
They do. It's a
I
place
so.
To be.
Well,
and it's
my
really
next
warm.
Trip to Green Bay, I'll be sure that'll be number one on my list.
Well, see, that's where you,
the
that's where you go to get all your game. That's where you get all your warm weather gear for the games. You get your blaze orange stuff, you know.
Yep.
Oh,
that's
okay.
Where I stop.
There's a big one just north of Lambeau, off 41 and 29.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Write it down, Al.
Got
we'll
it.
Give you a tour next time you're in Wisconsin, Al. How's that sound?
Excellent.
Going to Fleet Farm like going to Kroll's. It's one of those things you got to do.
Yeah, well, they're telling me that on the chat here. They're all saying you haven't lived till you've gone to Fleet Farm. So
nope, you got to buy those orange marshmallow peanut things when you're there too. Whatever those things are called.
Circus peanuts.
Yep, circus peanuts. They're nasty, but you got to buy them.
Hey, Amini, so what's up?
He said peanuts.
That's what she said.
What do you guys think on Neil and Bulaga? Are these guys going to get into camp on time?
Yes and no. Of course, today
well,
I did see
so.
Something come up. Yeah, Bulaga's coming in tomorrow, this agent into camp, and they did sign some other guys, so maybe. I say it's a pretty good chance. But if Bulaga's a day or two late, it's not a surprise. They've all been late a day or two for the past, well, since the AJ Hawk, at least, as far as I can remember.
Cowboys signed Des Bryant today, and he's at 24.
Exactly.
Right.
So. And what kept Raji from holding out was the fact that Crabtree was at 10. You know, Aaron Nagler and I went back and forth on this because originally when I heard that, you know, Des Bryant wanted top 10 money, I was gleeful for a moment because anything that disrupts the Cowboys makes me happy. But then, you know, he brought up the connection with Raji and Crabtree, and it's true. Because he didn't sign, Raji wanted more money and was waiting on his contract. Now that Des Bryant was the first round pick to sign, I think that, you know, as Judy Batista on Twitter was saying, that this might break the logjam and you may see a bunch of, you know, just bam, 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 right before camp starting, all of these first round picks coming in.
I'm all right with that.
Yeah, let's hope.
Yeah.
Let's play some football.
Well, we just got to make sure these young kids aren't spending too much money. You know, that's why we sign them late.
I'm not worried about Neil. I'm not really worried about Bulaga. I say pay him and let's get going.
Definitely. Well, Amin, thank you very much for calling in tonight. Any last words?
Well, the other thing I'll say is when you go to stop at Lambeau Field the Saturday before game day, have to get a tour for my sister, Patty, one of the Lambeau Field tour guides.
Nice.
Okay.
So
can we ask for her name?
Yes.
You say Patty at Lambeau Field, and they'll be like, all right.
Patty at Lambeau Field.
Patty
everyone write that
she's,
down.
She's worked there since the Lambeau Field was redone in 2003. So.
Nice.
Okay.
Wow.
I'm doing that. I'm going to say you told her that she has to buy me a beer, too.
That, too. Go for it. ask her to tell you all the good stories that the public doesn't hear.
Fair
Ooh.
Enough.
Okay, I'll share this one with you.
Great.
It involves our former head coach, before Mr. McCarthy. And when Lambeau Field was remodeled, one of the guys who worked for Levy Catering, who had full access to the locker room, thought that, hey, it would be great. I'm going to bring my buddies in, show them the locker room. So he comes in at 4 in the morning, on a Saturday morning, you know, figuring that he's going to have no problem. Turns the lights on, whoop, sitting there in the hot tub, Mike Sherman. Needless to say, he wasn't working at Lambeau Field any longer.
I don't know what's worse, getting fired or Sherman in a hot tub.
Yeah, no kidding. Pillsbury Doughboy.
Awesome.
All right, well, Robin, thank you very much for calling in tonight.
No problem. All right.
See, where else can you get that story than Cheesehead Radio? Nowhere.
There
that was
you go.
Awesome.
Insider stories. Gotta love that.
Yep.
A lot of great stories inside this issue of Maple Street Press, Packers Annual. A lot of great stories in there, too, I was reading through.
I'm buying one.
Yeah. There's lots of great stuff in there. And if I just might, you know, one last plug here. You know, some of the people on Cheesehead Radio here, CD, wrote a great article on training camp, and Holly wrote all our, opponent previews. You know, every game the Packers play, she previewed every game, every opponent. And Alex and Jerziel shared some of their favorite memories with us as well. So great stuff in there, and hope everybody gets a copy of Maple Street Press.
Absolutely.
Excellent.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, hey, since we're got a couple minutes left, about 3 minutes left, anyone have some final shots for us tonight?
I'm shouted out this week. Bleacher Report, I got your number. I'm done. I'm excited for training camp. I'm hoping to be there next week with the guys, talking to you live next Thursday from Green Bay. Keep your fingers crossed. That's all I got. Thanks for coming, Brian.
So jealous. So jealous.
Definitely. Well, I just want... Oh, sorry, go ahead there, Al.
No, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to wrap it up tonight then and say, hey, next week on Cheesehead Radio, we're going to be live once again, 8 o'clock Central Standard Time, right here, and we're going to have some very special guests next week. You will be hearing from Corey Behnke and Aaron Nagler of Cheesehead TV. They're going to be live at the shareholders meeting next week. I'm sure they're going to be keeping us up to date right over at Cheesehead TV. If I know Aaron Nagler, he's going to be tweeting like crazy, letting us know what's going on. And they just figured, hey, they wanted to do a show, but it would be very difficult to get a lot of equipment. So they're just going to call in on our show. We may even lengthen the show a little bit. They'll be reporting everything going on from the shareholders meeting next week. So please check us out next week, same time, same bat channel. If you would like to, we have a Cheesehead Radio hotline. So if you cannot listen to the show live, write down this number, 316. CH Radio. You can record a message for us, and if we really, really like it, we may play it on the air when we run out of stuff to talk about. Next Friday night, if you are in for the shareholders meeting, Friday night from 7 o'clock to 9 o'clock, there is a Cheesehead TV tweet-up meetup over at Titletown Brewery. Corey, Aaron plan on being there. I think Alex and myself are planning on being there, too. So if you're at big Packer fan and a big Cheesehead TV fan, come on down and join us. We'd love to have you there. And hey, if you cannot listen, if you're not at a computer to listen to Cheesehead Radio, you can actually listen from your phone. So if you can plug your iPhone into your car and listen over the speakers, just dial our call-in number, which is 917-932-8401. Don't press 1, and you will actually be able to listen to us live for the whole show. So love to have you listen to us. Love hearing from you when you call in. Going to say a big shout-out to Haman for calling in tonight. Thank you very much. And a huge thank you to Cheesehead TV guru Brian Caribou. Thank you very much for joining us tonight, my friend.
Yeah,
thank you, guys.
Great.
I had fun. Yes. Thank you.
Tari Caribou.
Brian. Anything I'm forgetting, guys?
I think you covered it, CD.
I think we got it.
I think so. All right, ladies and gentlemen, once again, thanks a lot for joining us. We'll see you next week, 8 o'clock Central Standard Time, right here on Blog Talk Radio.
All right.